word says where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst. Amen? Yeah, praise the Lord. And if one will put 1,000, two will put 10,000, look at how much the enemy is being put to flight here today. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorious day. Thank You, Lord, for this day. Father, we thank You in Jesus' name for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank You for the nice weather, for the seasons, Lord. Now, Lord, we just submit this time to You. We are Your people. It's Your word, Lord, and it's Your time, Lord. Speak to our hearts as we minister to You, Lord. Let us be a sweet smell and a sweet sound as we sing praises and worship You this morning, Lord. We thank You for it. We thank You for open minds and receptive hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name, have Your way. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are celebrating God this morning? Hallelujah. Thank You. You know, I was talking to Bill this morning. Bill's not here this morning because the enemy attacked him. But you know, Bill had positive words to say this morning. And of course, when I get feedback like this, obviously it blesses me, but it lets me know that God's message is, you know, being brought forth. Bill was saying that he was under attack and everything. And of course, you know, Bill has, from a child, been afflicted by the enemy with diabetes. And this morning he wasn't feeling good. But you know, his testimony was that he's been meditating on the message Wednesday night and that he sees it as an attack because he's doing the right things from the enemy. Now that's positive. Praise God. That's positive. That's positive thinking and that's positive. I prayed for him this morning. He really got blessed. And so we'll just continue to lift him up this morning today. Amen. Prayer of faith's been prayed. So our agreement is that he's going to, and he said, the next time you see me, I'm going to have a good report. Amen. See, that's faith in operation. I believe Him. Hallelujah. Look forward to the day when the healing is complete and He no longer walks in affliction. I'm ready to celebrate Him this morning. How about you? Hallelujah. So, in one way of celebrating is to take and give Him His tithes and our offerings. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. Father, thank You in Jesus' name for this day. Father, we thank You for Your blessings, Lord, and in those blessings we have the opportunity to give back to You just a portion of what is really Yours, Lord. You've blessed us with abundance, Lord. You've blessed us with things, but everything we have, our life, the light, the word, money, possessions, Lord, they're Yours. They're on loan from You, Lord. And so now, Lord, we give You back Your tithes. And Lord, please ask, we ask You to receive our offerings to You, Lord, for the furtherance of Your kingdom, for the furtherance of the gospel, so the world can be touched. We give You praise and thanks. Bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. Father, this morning, we don't want to operate out of desperation, Lord, but we want to be desperate for You, Lord. We desire Your presence. Holy Spirit, we do invite You. We yield to You, Holy Spirit. We need You, Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your presence here. Thank You for filling this place, Lord. Now, Father, once again, I thank You for that coal, and I ask You once again to touch my lips. Hide me behind the cross. Let Your word come forth in power and might. In Jesus' name, I thank You for changed hearts and changed lives this morning and for drawing people closer to You and Your name being exalted so men are drawn to You this morning. In Jesus' name, and for Your glory, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 through 20 says, that's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20 say, I call heaven and earth as witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That word choose means to fix upon one among alternatives. Fix upon one among alternatives as the one to be taken, accepted, or adopted. It means to adopt, embrace, espouse, crave, desire, love, and want and wish to fix upon one among alternatives as one to be taken, accepted, or adopted. And it means to adopt, to embrace, to espouse, to crave, desire, love, want, and wish. He said, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Two witnesses, heaven and earth. Amen? That He has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that it may, that both you and your descendants may live. And it doesn't mean just live. It means live an abundant life. An abundant life. And then verse 20 says, that you may love the Lord your God. Listen carefully. That you may love the Lord your God. That you may obey His voice. And that you may cling to Him. Cling to Him. For He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. God's desire is that we love Him with all of our heart, that we obey His voice, and that we cling to Him, for He is our life. Amen? Without Him, there is no life. I mean, look around you. Death and destruction on every hand, deceit, dishonesty, intolerance. That doesn't sound like God. That sounds like the kingdom of darkness and the enemy. For He is yours and my life. And He is the length of our days. And the reason for us to desire Him is that we can dwell in the land which the Lord swore to our fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. What land? We talk about the promises of God in His Word. And we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. We have been given the promise of God, which are in promises of God which are in Him, yes, and amen. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's pretty great. But the point is, it takes an effort on our part to receive those blessings, to walk in those blessings. I mean, they're there, they're available, but there is a requirement on us, and that is to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as He loved us, as He loves us. Amen? Let's look at a little different slant on that, on the same thought. Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. We talked about some of this Wednesday night, but I want to go a little deeper in depth today. The blessings come from living and walking in every commandment of God, in every promise of God. It hinges on every word of God. Deuteronomy 11:26, Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. Verse 27, The blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. The blessing comes from obeying the commandments of God. That means every one of them. And the curse in verse 28, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which He or I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. There's a lot of gods out there. Self-pleasure, self-gratification, self-indulgence, intolerance, indifference. You know, there's a sin of omission as well as a sin of commission. Are you with me? We're not going to talk about the sins today. We're going to talk about the blessing of God and what God expects. And the reason for this message is because we have for too long, now listen carefully, I heard this from a Spanish pastor whose church is thriving. The anointing of God is there. The power of God is there. Supernatural miracles are taking place. And he said the reason that people don't see the power of God is because too many people tolerate God, and God won't come where He's tolerated. He'll come where He's celebrated. We need to celebrate the Lord this morning. And that means with these songs, man, wonderful songs, we need to give Him praise and honor. We need to be in His presence. And we need to be there in such a way, and we have such an attitude of heart, that we don't care if it takes an hour or 10 hours. We're going to stay in the presence of God. We're hungering and thirsting after righteousness and after Him and after His presence. I can remember in my young days going to church when God saved me as a teenager. Man, we'd go and we'd start in the morning. Sometimes there'd be 2 hours of just praise and worship. And then the Word would come. And you know, not one person got weary. God moved. God moved. Because He was number one, and that was the most important thing. There was no, what's the word I want to use? There was no awareness of self. It was all awareness of God. As I mentioned Wednesday night, there have been several of you that have come to me and said, Bill, we need to see, we want to see the supernatural. Well, hello, I do too. Through a chain of events. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. You know why? Because He said it. But it takes and requires something on us, from us. And that is being desperate enough to not get weary, to not get antsy, but to stay in His presence and giving Him the praise and the honor that He deserves. Did you hear me? He deserves. We owe it to Him. But that's not why we do it. We do it because we love Him. Amen? When you pay your tithes and you give offerings, you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you love Him. We need to come to the place where we're so in love with Him and so desperate for Him that we automatically just forget about ourselves. You know, I remember the old song we sang, still in our books. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. You know, self gets in the way of everything. Hello? Self gets in the way of everything. And it'll keep you from God. It'll keep you from operating in the fullness. It'll keep you from walking in the blessings of God. Now, they're there and they're available. But too many times, He's willing, but we're not. Come on now. In Deuteronomy 8:3, Mark 4:4, and Luke 4:4, we're told that man does not live by bread alone. It's not just the physical sustenance that we need. It's the spiritual sustenance that we need. It's every word of God. And those three scriptures say, man does not live by bread alone, or shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And let me just tell you something. That's not just past. That's also present and future. God is still speaking to people today. His anointing is still there, directing, giving revelation. Teaching us. Are we desperate? Are we desperate for Him this morning? Or have we just been going through life? Thank you, Lord. And I'm not saying you're not thankful. But what I'm saying is, are you desperate? Are you really thankful? Do you love Him enough that the very moment you wake up in the morning, you say, good morning, Lord. Thank You for my life. Thank You for this day. Thank You for Your presence in my life. And then you ask Him, where are we going? What are we going to do today? Is it that real to you? Or you just wake up and face another day. And then if something happens, well, then we might pray. That's a powerful statement. God won't come where He's tolerated. He comes where He is celebrated. I want to celebrate the Lord. He is my life. He's the only thing that makes life worth living. Amen? The Bible says, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, His name is to be praised. The Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. He tells us to praise in all things, in everything give thanks. Because this is what? It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me. And I want to remind you, the Holy Spirit is not a thing. You hear me? The Holy Spirit is not a thing. He is a person. He is the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. Let me tell you, when you wake up in the morning, you need to be mindful of the fact that God's will not lead you where His grace cannot keep you. That means in everything you do and everything you endeavor to do, God's there. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is there. And He's there to guide you, to lead you, to speak to your heart. But you need to be mindful. I will, if you will. Oh, did you hear me? We want everything we can get from God, but sometimes we don't want to give God everything we've got. Are you convicted yet? I am. Your thoughts and attitudes, as well as your words, affect your future and your destiny. Did you hear me? Your thoughts, your attitudes, and your words, the three together. You can have one or two, but if you're lacking the other one, if you're not walking in all three, then you're affecting your destiny and your future in a negative way. The trigger for blessings or curses are your words and confessions. They bring either positive, which is the blessings, or negative, which is the curse in your life. And it's not just your words, it's your actions. Again, your attitudes. Is God ho-hum? Or do you get up in the morning, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings, for life, for health, for the very breath that I have today, that I have your word, that I have your presence, that I'm your child, I walk in your presence. I have your ability, your authority, and I thank you that I can do everything that you did and even greater things because you said so. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I recently heard, how many here know Steve Harvey? That man's a blessing. That man is a blessing. I don't, for those of you who may not know, God got a hold of his life. And he gave, I said this Wednesday night, he gave one of the most astounding introductions to Jesus on stage. I think it was a concert that I have ever heard. And he gave God glory. Here is a man who was brought out of darkness. I mean, he's coming out of the entertainment scene. How many of you know what kind of darkness is in that scene? What kind of treachery the enemy has brought about in that scene? And he had a man dying of an inoperable and incurable cancer, not very well known. A strain that just they don't know that much about. And when you saw the picture of this man, he was bald. He was a Hispanic man, and when he was bald, 124 pounds, skin and bones. And this man had an encounter with God. He made up his mind to seek God. And God raised him up. You ought to see him now. Oh, my goodness. Got a head of hair that won't quit. Handsome-looking guy. And Steve Harvey had him on his show, and he gave a testimony for the Lord there in the middle of all that was going on. In the middle of, in other words, in your face, Hollywood, in your face, California, in your face. And then what he said was, he talked about that we need God's soup with our natural. I like that. If we have the supernatural, we need God's soup added to our natural. And it makes it supernatural, amen? That means the Spirit of God, the promise of God in operation, because we believe it, and because we walk in it, and because we desire it. Not for our own consumption, but for blessing other people. And we get the residual. How many know with God a little is more than enough? What some people might call little is more than enough. I mean, dear God, when the five loaves and fishes were blessed, they fed 5,000 men, 25,000 people, it's estimated, all together, and they had 7 or 12, I can't remember which, baskets full left over. 12. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Feed 25,000. Glory to God. Glory to God. We need God's soup added to our natural. Man, we operate in the natural so easy. Sometimes we're led by the natural. What do I mean by that? It means every day there are circumstances and situations that we face that we go through it because it's normal. How many of us are looking for and operating in the abnormal? No matter what happens, we look to God, the author, the finisher of our faith, the one who began a good work in us. Amen? And who's going to complete that work and who is completing that work. Did you hear me? He hadn't just begun it. He's going to complete it. He is completing it right now as you sit here. He's working in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we celebrate Him, we can be and we are assured of His inevitable supernatural intervention in our midst and in our lives and operating through us for other people. See, we've got thoughts and things that we operate in. You know, it's amazing to me, even in my own life, and when God first started dealing with me about this, I could see things in my life where I've just tolerated the word. Maybe I've struggled with something, a precept or a concept a little bit, or maybe a whole lot. And I gave the example about tithing. It's not that I have anything against tithing, but I want to know the truth and I want to do what's right. And in this process, that's one area where God came down and said, Bill, a new day. You hear me? A new day. See, here's one of the goofy ideas the enemy puts in our head. How many of you feel that you're supposed to suffer from lack and want? Anybody? Praise the Lord. Wise people. But there are little thoughts and ideas that come from, if you wanted to, religious confusion or religious sacred cows in our lives. And we're not sure. So instead of going after the Lord, what we do is we sit in our little corner with our arms folded and we become complacent in that area. And we miss out on all that God has. When you could be just a breath away or just a prayer away from breakthrough. A breakthrough. How many are looking for breakthrough today? Are you satisfied with just enough? Or do you want the abundance? Or do you want more than enough? I'm not satisfied anymore. I can't be satisfied. Hungering and thirsting after God and His righteousness means that every moment of every day you are consumed. Did you hear me? Consumed with Him, with His goodness, with His presence, with His miracles, with His ability, and the ability that He's placed in you. And you can't wait to go out and spill over on other people. You're a vessel that God pours into. And He doesn't just fill you to the full, but He pours enough over that it spills out. And when it does, it's supposed to affect lives. The supernatural. Amen? By the Holy Spirit, He adds the soup to our natural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." See, I'm tired of the little foxes that come in, the little thoughts, the little silliness that the enemy brings. I'm tired of it. You need to get tired of it. So you can operate in God's fullness. And realize there's not a thing in your life that He is not and does not have the answer to. Did you hear me? That He is not the answer to and that He does not have the answer to. So, logically, if you think about that, if you turn to Him, then you've received the answer already. Now we need the manifestation. But if He's really the author and the finisher of your faith, then seek Him. Act like it. Act like you believe that. Maybe it's as simple as something that you feel you've done that you just can't seem to get free from. You feel condemned. I'm going to tell you today, the condemnation does not come from God. If you're feeling condemnation and guilt, then you're not operating and walking in. You need to be set free from that, from that bondage. God convicts. And that conviction, when it comes, doesn't tear you down, berate you or belittle you, or tell you you're worthless. It comes as the entity of God, His arms outstretched and wraps around you, and He says, He doesn't remind you of the problem or the thing that was done wrong. He says, "This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it." Didn't your Bible say, like mine, that whom the Lord has set free is free indeed? Then He tells us, He admonishes us, "Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage as a manner of some." Why do you want to get hung up? Why do I want to get hung up with silly, goofy thoughts that really what you're saying and what you're feeling in your spirit, God's not adequate enough. I'm here to tell you the Word says, and I've experienced that He's more than enough. You're more than a conqueror. You, individually, each and every one, are more than a conqueror. He's made you the head and not the tail. He's made you above and only not beneath. If He's the one that's in control of all principalities and powers and all kingdoms, then, and you're on His side, aren't you on the winning team? It's time to let go of the silliness, the silly religious thoughts, the things you look at that hold you back, and get lost in His presence, get lost in the love of God, and worship and praise Him from your whole heart, and make that a day-by-day, moment-by-moment process. Amen? Bless the Lord at all times. Praise Him at all times. Hallelujah. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law, he meditates day and night." Something happened this week that's gotten your attention and your focus off of God? It's a simple saying, "Father, forgive me. I got distracted. But now I'm on focus again. I'm on target. Thank You, Lord. You are the answer. You have the answer. And it's going to happen according to Your Word." According to Your Word, according to Your confession, according to Your faith, be it unto you. We not only need, but we need to see God's supernatural in operation, His supernatural ability. You don't have to, but if you want to, you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're just about done. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. How many of you are tired of being sick and tired? How many of you are tired of not seeing the supernatural, the intervention of God in your life and in the lives of others? Of not seeing that power flow through you and spilling out on other people? I don't want to just come and sit here anymore. I want to see the power of God move on you, through you, for you, and me, and for others. I want every person who comes through that door to be touched by the power of God, by the love of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 7. Actually, probably verses 4 through 6. The key verse is verse 5. "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds." Casting down. That's a requirement. It's an action that is required. "Vain imaginations," you have to cast it down. "Vain imaginations," or arguments in the New King James. "Arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought." Did y'all read that? Did I miss something, or did I read that right? "Bringing every thought into captivity." Taking it bondage, put it in bondage. Bind it up. To what? To the obedience of Christ. Meaning when a thought comes, you say, "No, not here. That's not what God says." And that exalts itself against the knowledge. The knowledge of what? The knowledge of the power, the blessing, the anointing, the gifts, and the promises that He's given to you. There's There's action required in that scripture. Amen? And then be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You know, that might mean punishing yourself. What do I mean by that? Well, you're not going to go slap yourself around. But maybe what you need to do, I've told you the testimony how I used to walk around in the mall at night, checking everything out, making sure doors are locked. And all of a sudden, some stupid thought would come in my head, and I'd be standing there having an argument with God. How ridiculous. How ridiculous. Casting down arguments. Verse 5. Every high thing. High thing. What does that mean in the King James? It means everything that is exalting itself. That's a high thing. And it's trying to be higher than the Word of God. Not possible. And as I'm walking around, all of a sudden the Spirit of God would come on me and say, Bill, what are you doing? What are you doing? And right then, oh, Father, forgive me. I've missed it. I'm sorry. And I'd begin to speak the word into that situation. And you know, that thought would go and would not return. Not just for the rest of that night, but from now on, the thought didn't return. I remember driving down the road one day, left the yard, had my load on my truck, and I've told some of you this, some of you are new, you don't know this story, but I was driving down and there's a young man that God put there for me to be his mentor. Oh yeah, okay. Are you sure about this, Lord? And I'm going down there and I'm fussing and fuming and just being ridiculous. How many can say there's been a moment of ridiculousness in your life sometimes? Come on now. God knows. You can't hide it from Him. And all of a sudden again, the Spirit of God comes on the scene and He says, Bill, why the uproar? What's happening? And all of a sudden He began to minister to me. I went back and I apologized to Him. I wasn't mad at Him. Just the enemy just put some thought, silly thought in my head, and I ran with it. You know, it reminds me of the story of the guy who was driving down an old country road. Dear God, no wonder God sits in the heavens and laughs. Driving down an old country road, he's a salesman, and as he's driving down the old country road, his car breaks down. Luckily, he's right in front of a farmhouse. But because of the mentality and because the world is the way it is, he starts to have an argument within himself. He starts having a fight inside himself. Oh, gee, this couldn't happen at a worse time. What am I going to do now? And the Spirit says, well, there's a farmhouse. Oh, they won't open the door anyway. They won't help me. Late at night, they won't help me. I'll just be a nuisance. I'll just make them upset. And finally, in the middle of the argument, he finds himself walking up to the door and knocking on the door. And you can imagine what he said. Oh, I don't know why I stopped here. You won't help me anyway. And the farmer said, what's wrong? What's wrong? See the ridiculousness of it? If God's for you and I, who can be against us? That's all the more reason to praise Him, to be desperate for Him, because He is the answer. Even if you don't have a tangible answer right in your palm of your hand or in your logic, go to Him. He is the answer, and He'll reveal the answer to you. But seek Him with your whole heart. Hunger and thirst for Him, for His knowledge, for His wisdom, for His intervention in your life. Anticipate His supernatural intervention. Stop thinking like a person who doesn't know the Lord. Stop thinking carnal thoughts. Stop arguing with yourself about silly things that keep you from the pleasures and the blessings of God, of the Lord, which He freely gives to all of us. He wants you to have them because He's your Father. And He only has good for you in mind. Go back and read Jeremiah 29:11 if you don't believe that. We just saw it this morning. Many thoughts go through our hearts and minds in a day. Our responsibility and service to the Lord is to celebrate Him, to cast down those thoughts, put them down. Put our thoughts and experiences aside and believe in and glorify God. Glorify the Lord. He has, and He is the answer. You know, another thing that we need to be careful of, and, you know, I'll tell you, this has just really become something that really is an irritation to me. I went to a celebration, what was supposed to be a celebration not too long ago, of a lady who had a great influence in my life. But she got off. Hey, I did too. But you know, I heard people exalt her and laud her, and very little, if any, acclamation or accolades were given to the Lord. And I left there, Lord, what just happened? Why did you require me to come here? See, we acknowledge and applaud men. I just saw on television, in a sports cast, a coach. No question he was a good man. No question he cared about the people that were playing for him and the people who gave him the job. He had some good things to say. But I'm sorry, you're lost and undone without God and His Son if you don't know the Lord. Did you hear me? Lost and undone without God and His Son if you don't know the Lord. And what we do as men, we acknowledge and applaud men for their accomplishments. But do we do the same thing or treat God or glorify God and acknowledge Him with the same respect and fervency as we do men? I'm reminded again of what I believe her name's Ruth Graham. Ann Graham. Anyway, it's Billy Graham's daughter. And one of the things she said not too long ago was the fact that in this country, in this society, we'll believe the newspaper and reject the Bible and then wonder why things aren't going right in our life. We'll question the Bible, but we'll believe every word that's put on that page by men who are, at best, in many cases. Now let me tell you, I'm not saying all. I have met some people who did know the Lord and who gave God glory. And they were really, really reporters of the highest caliber. But most of it is bias and prejudice based on mainstream thinking. And they're conforming to the world, not conforming to God, and not conforming to His image. So you're listening to what's probably, if not a completely flat-out lie, something that's biased and skewed in the wrong direction. And the reason for that is what's called witchcraft. In Galatians, it talks about the works of the flesh, and that's a work of the flesh. Witchcraft is nothing more than manipulation, where the enemy tries to manipulate you and manipulate your thinking. God says, blessed or happy is the man whose mind is stayed on Him. Are you with me? Let's examine ourselves. There's no condemnation here. I'm not down on you. I'm for you. God is for you. And He's desperately waiting. Don't let it be said of us like it was of Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times would I have gathered you as a hen does her chicks, but you would not. It's time to search your heart. It's time to cry out like David and say, create in me clean hands and a right heart and renew a right spirit within me. Search me, O God, and know my thoughts and try me and know my ways and see if there's any wicked way. Wicked way, that doesn't necessarily mean, and it doesn't mean just flat out sin or rebellion. It can mean just having a goofy thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And like, what do you have to do? You have to go in a corner and stand on your head, get a knife, and try to stack babies on the knife. No. No. Just turn to the Lord and say, Father, forgive me. I got carried away for a second, but I'm sorry, Lord. And I know You're the answer and You have the answer. And You're my answer. And it's done. We saw that video last week that Carmen did. God opened the book. This man who was nervous while he was being judged Satan on one hand, the accuser, and the advocate, Jesus, on the other hand. And when God opened the book, it was blank. There was nothing there. Because the handwriting of the ordinances that were broken by his sin were blotted out, completely erased. There was nothing there. But when God opened the book of life, he found that man's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. But it goes far beyond that. Let's don't just be happy with fire insurance. Let's be happy that God has given us all things, blessed us with all things, and the ability to operate in every good thing that he has. And it's his desire. Maybe that's the first place you need to go. Maybe that's where you need to start, is understanding his desire is to bless you. What does it take for us to believe Jeremiah 29:11? I know the thoughts, or as the song said this morning, I know the plans. If you've got thoughts for somebody, that means there's some plans there, right? Are you with me? Praise the Lord. When we come to the place, in closing, that He, the Lord, is at the highest place in our lives, that means there is nothing above Him. That means we don't consider anything or anybody above God. I know some of you were taught as children, as young people, the way to spell joy. Jesus and others knew. But the reality is, unless He's at the highest place, unless He's Lord of everything, He's not Lord of all, Lord at all. And unless He's at the highest place in our lives, and the first consideration in our thoughts and lives, then we need to examine ourselves. Amen? We've seen God do miracles. I see miracles sitting in this house right now, in this room right now. I see miracles. I don't care what you call them, I'm telling you they're miracles. Harry and Marie, Shanae, myself, Frank and Lisa, Bob and Karen, Lowell. Amen? Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, Norman, Betty are involved in that too. And probably most of the rest of you, if not all of you. Did God come through for you when it looked like it was the end, or going to, you know, close to the end? Or like it was that last desperate, you know? In other words, it's like the photograph of a little kitty hanging on the branch with his nails and says, "Hang in there, baby." Are you just about to lose your grip? Let me encourage you, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't be weary in doing good or trusting or looking to the Lord, because your answer is at hand. Your salvation is at hand. I'm not talking about regeneration or rebirth. I'm talking about your deliverance, your healing, your supernatural intervention by God is at hand. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Scripture says there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And remember, if your heart's condemning you at this moment, because you feel you've missed the mark, God is greater than your heart. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall I go on? For every argument you can lift up, I promise you, I've got a scripture that will turn your misgiving or your misunderstanding or your heartache to joy. See, in God, it's impossible to lose. Unless you just give up. And it's obvious to me y'all haven't given up because you're here this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. There's more. A lot more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. George Beverly Shea used to sing an old song. If all the trees were quills and the ocean was ink, and I forget where the paper part came in, forgive me, but there wouldn't be enough ink to write down about the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Isn't that what he said? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you need prayer this morning, if you just need the prayer of agreement, nothing else, then I invite you to come or see one of the elders in the church. Don't leave here today carrying a burden you don't have to carry. And don't leave here with worry on your hearts. Don't leave here with condemnation on your hearts. God came that you might have life and life more abundantly. He set you free. He came to set you free. To make you free indeed. If the Lord has set you free, you are free indeed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's take a moment. Father, I thank you that this morning when Bill called, the prayer of faith was prayed. And Lord, I thank you for the encouragement that he was to me, even though I called, when he called, I wanted to encourage him. Lord, I thank you that he is healed and raised up. Where again, we believe no other report and we'll receive no other report. And Bill, by an act of his own will and by his own mouth, said that he would have a testimony of the goodness and glory of God when we saw him again. And I thank you for that because that's faith in action, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that his response was not negative. Oh, I'm sick again. But Lord, that the enemy was operating because he was walking and touching the things of God and operating in your fullness, and the enemy was mad. So be it. So be it. Give him a black eye and a bloody nose, Lord. We thank you that all this calamity that you tried to bring on Bill, Satan, is back on you. And we see you with those symptoms, that migraine headache, that dizziness, that sick stomach. It's back on you. In Jesus' name. And for anybody else who needs healing this morning, Lord, whether here or someplace else, Lord, you see and you know. Father, we turn them over to you and we thank you that because your work is finished, because of your bruises and stripes, they are healed, Lord. Completely, thoroughly, saved from destruction of any kind, which means lack, want, emotion, whatever it is, Lord, they're saved and delivered. So we send the word to them right now. Be healed. Walk in health according to the Word of God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. We're in agreement with your Word, Lord. We bless you now. Are all hearts clear? The invitation's still open as we close and as we go. If you need to talk to somebody or need prayer, please, by all means, come. We won't turn you away. Remember, we have the fellowship after this at Norman Betty Edwards. Bless their hearts. They've been a blessing. Glad to have them here, Lord. I want you to know we love you guys here. We appreciate you. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I ask for your countenance to shine upon these people. I ask for your grace and your mercy and your provision and your prosperity to be an operation in their life abundantly, not just get by, but more than enough, Lord. An abundance, Lord, according to your plan and purpose. Go with them. We thank you for a blessed week, Lord. We thank you for your presence operating and that this is the beginning of a new day in you, Lord. And Lord, we speak blessing. Bless Norm and Betty for opening their homes. Bless them abundantly, Lord. We thank you for them. Now we sanctify this time and whatever fellowship we have here before we go. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for meeting our needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And all who agree, say amen. Bless you. Amen. If you don't know the Lord, now's the time.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ.
Listen to this. Listen to this.
This is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, It is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only. God has been good.